Welcome to Attempting Murder Podcast. Attempting Murder is a monthly podcast reverently dedicated to the Morrigan. We hope you will join us as we come together in this space to commune with each other and to build connections with the greater community. We come not just as Crow women, but as spiritual humans making sense of and finding meaning in our lives.
Well, before we started this, we've been discussing all kinds of different topics, of course, for the show. And what seemed to make sense to us because of the fact that the new moon also falls within a few days, really, of Samhain. And for some traditions who practice Celtic versions of paganism, they actually celebrate Samhain on the new moon. It's the lunar Samhain, that we would do a tarot reading in nod to both the prophecy for the season, but also prophecy as in parting the veil on the new moon for tarot readings and other forms of divination. So we're going to talk about our readings. And I've been dying since this morning, and River started by sending pictures of her reading. So I'm deciding right now. She goes first.
Oh, no. I used a tarot spread I found on a blog called wartsandcunning.com. The spread is called Hallowing, a Samhain spread. And I thought it was a really interesting take on sort of seeing what's coming up in the year ahead. So I'll talk a little bit about the cards I drew, what they mean to me personally, and I'll give some context via the spread. So the first card she has you pull is the moon, and she describes that as a source of guiding illumination for the death / birth of the year. A look at the big picture influences in your life at the moment. And as you guys know, I drew Justice. I drew it from the Ethereal Visions deck. So that Justice is very like traditional with the sword and the blindfold and the scales, but she also is seated next to a white, well, it sort of looks like a barn owl. Which I thought was interesting because, of course, owls have very strong symbolism on their own about, like, wisdom, intuition. I took this card to mean, in particular, like, I suffer from generalized anxiety disorder. And I had a friend observe to me that anxious people tend to make decisions quickly just to sort of, like, end the tension, whether or not that decision is correct. Whether or not that decision is the best or most thought out decision, it's sort of like ripping off the Band-Aid.
Oh my God, the feels.
Yeah. And I realized that when he said it, it was like light dawns over marble.
Right. Right.
I was like, that makes so much sense. That's why, you know, I plan and plan and overplan to help my anxiety. But then I also make these really fast decisions where I jump in with both feet and it's like, this doesn't make sense. But in that context, it makes perfect sense. And I'm on the verge of some big ass life decisions right now. Pretty much everything about my life feels like it's about to change, and quite unexpectedly. And so this, I think, is telling me that I need to take my sweet time and not make decisions quickly just because being in that state of tension is anxiety inducing. So that's what I took it to mean. Card number two is called The Path. And it says, a glimpse into the very near future. I pulled Eight of Wands, which is hilarious because this has been my repeater card. I know some people refer to it as a stalker card, but I know Lindsay Mack on Tarot for the Wild Soul podcast, she calls it a repeating card because stalker has some sort of icky connotations. And I like that. I have been pulling it for 6 months. Other people have been pulling it for me. It just shows up all the goddamn time in my readings for myself. So it was funny to see it again because it was like, okay, I get it. Things are surging forward. And the cards I used were from Marchetti's Tarot Grand Lux. And the Eight of Wands looks a lot like the traditional Eight of Wands in the Rider-Waite deck. But it's sort of like a three-dimensional sort of perspective where it looks like the staves are coming right at you. So it's even more dynamic. So it's like, okay, even though I need to take time and careful consideration for these decisions, like it is time for things to transition. So that was like not a surprise at all. And I just laugh every time I get Eight of Wands because It seems very attached to me right now.
Yeah, it is like your life card at the moment.
Yeah, it's very, I get that and the Chariot. And so it's like, okay, I get it. Number three card in the draw is called the Lantern, the point that you use as your current primary guide. What has captivated your attention and that you are drawn by? I got Ace of Pentacles, which I've never drawn before. And I know that you, Ray, and Willow have drawn that in your spreads as well, which is funny. I've never pulled Ace of Pentacles. And now I'm not like a super experienced tarot reader, but I have been tarot reading pretty heavily daily, et cetera, for like 4 or 5 months now. And I've never pulled it. So that was interesting. The card from this deck that I used, it's not the traditional looking Ace of Pentacles. It has this very, very tall, lush tree full of green leaves. It has like a buck that can only be described as like the platonic ideal of a buck, right? It's very glossy, kind of fat. It's got big old horns. And then there's what appears to be like a sunrise coming up behind these two figures. And so I think that really gets to the heart of what Ace of Pentacles is all about, which is like new opportunities and things growing and, you know, sort of this promise of abundance. I don't really know what that means in my life, except that I feel like I'm on an upward trajectory for the first time in a long time, and things are actually moving and happening and things aren't in stasis anymore. So that's sort of how I interpreted that one. Number four is the Mask. What illusions are you maintaining for yourself and others? I got Nine of Wands reversed, and I never pulled Nine of Wands reversed. So I sort of looked up, I pulled Nine of Wands upright lots of times. So I looked up, I thought, what would that possibly mean? And there was a lot about chip on one's shoulder and resentment and, you know, just like visually, instead of looking like this man is standing, you know, with a stave in hand and all these staves in the ground behind him, he sort of looks like he's in a cage. And so I was looking at that thinking, you know, I have a lot of anger that I'm processing right now. And, you know, sort of like self-righteous or feeling self-justified. And that's not really a healthy place to be, I recognize. So I think sort of radical self-honesty is something I need to employ to dispel this illusion. Number five is the Bones. This is an amazing spread, by the way. It just relates to everything about Samhain. I really love the way that she put this together. A reflection of ancestry, family, culture, and heritage. I drew Four of Pentacles. The deck I used for this row was the Triple Goddess Tarot, which I love, by the way. It's such like a warm and fuzzy deck. It just has like good vibes for me. So I love it and I use it really often. So it's not like your typical miser. It's this woman. She's sitting on cobblestones. So she sort of looks like in a beggar position, but she's well dressed. She's well groomed. And she's wearing black and white. So to me, it like evokes like a street performer, and maybe she's accepting this fourth coin because, you know, an appreciative audience member is giving it to her. That's just the vibe that I get from it. And she's stacking all these coins, I guess, for a rainy day. And I was trying to figure out, how does it relate back to ancestry? Well, I come from a long line of women who are very stubborn, very determined, really good at sort of like making do with whatever they have. And I admire that a lot. But there's also like the flip side of that coin, pentacle, whatever, where there's like a certain grudginess or sort of getting stuck in these patterns. So I think I can take both sides of that coin and employ it in my own life for better or worse. Number six is the Fire. What needs to be cleansed and offered to the fire in order to move through to the new year? I got Nine of Pentacles, which is, I've got a lot of pentacles in this draw, and I really am not, that's probably my least familiar suit because I don't draw them frequently. But I feel like for me, so it's got this woman, she's behind a wrought iron fence and this beautiful, it's obviously a well-maintained garden. She's looking at a peacock. She looks very, her expression is very forlorn. And she's wearing a dress with lace and embroidery, and it has a train and it's red. So very much like the picture of wealth. But she's also got, most of the women in this deck have their hair down, or they have like a loose bun, or, you know, some sort of like soft and flirty updo. And she has a very severe, like, ballerina bun. And that says to me that she's like, there's a tension there and a discomfort. And like, she's in this sort of like Victorian zoo situation where, you know, she's fed, she's clothed, she's obviously well taken care of, but she's also kind of like trapped and suffocated. And that's been one of the themes for all these new revelations I'm having, is that financial security is important, but pursuing that and ignoring all of your other needs is really easy trap to fall into, and it's really dangerous. And so I'm completely ready to throw that in the fire. I mean, I'm not going to go crazy and go buy things that I can't afford or try to live outside my means. But, you know, like, I was warring with myself for years because I wanted very badly to go to grad school and to, you know, pursue a career after grad school. And I thought, well, you know, my husband has too much student loan debt, so I can't do that. And now I'm realizing, like, no, I need to live my life for me. I can figure out a plan for that student loan debt. And, you know, I can't just be trapped in place. I can't be standing behind this wrought iron fence forever, because I will, you know, I feel as unhappy as this woman looks with some of those situations. And let's see, the last one is number 7. Oh no, that's the second to last one. What is being revealed? I got justice again, and I don't think there's any big meaning to that beyond what I talked about, you know, back at number 1, the moon. I think they're very tied together. I think that's just what's going on in my life right now, trying to make all these decisions and make the best ones. And number 8 is the ancient ones, guidance from ancestor spirits and or guides. And this is super appropriate for the first episode of this podcast. I got 3 of cups, and it's 3 women who don't look very much alike, but they're obviously have like a friendship, a close friendship, and like an emotional intimacy. It's just obvious by the way they're looking at each other in the picture and holding these cups that they really cherish each other and respect each other. And that one's a gimme. That one is obviously podcast. So that's where it was a really satisfying spread. I highly recommend that you check it out on warts, WORTS and cunning.com, because I think it was very well put together, very thoughtful, and a little bit off the beaten path. So I'm interested in hearing what y'all have done with your spreads and your polls.
Well, can I first just like offer this, you know, a couple observations about your spread? I just think it's really apropos.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like too on the nose.
It did feel a little on the nose. I was like, is this right? But it felt very right to interpret it that way. So
yeah, it was really, that was really good. I think we picked a really good time. And it's strange. This is the other thing too. We're all supposed to do these readings yesterday.
Yeah.
And by fate stepped in and we all ended up doing them this morning.
This morning.
At around the exact same time.
Yeah. Just by coincidence. That wasn't planned.
Yeah, it was funny. And so we're all in Discord, of course, typing and taking pictures and talking about it. But it was, I thought it was really a really good reading. And I like that there's a lot of, I'm just going to be honest, there's a lot of things that this reading brought to up from the base or from the bottom of what you're dealing with right now that I have had thoughts about saying something to you previously, but I didn't want to be that smother mother friend who's like, what the hell are you doing? Right. So yeah. So I'm really tickled that somebody said those things.
Well, I used 3 different decks and they were all quite emphatic about what they were saying. So yeah. Really funny. But sometimes it's better to hear it from a card than from a person, because then you can sort
it's
of look
dispassionate.
Yeah, exactly.
Divorce it from their opinion of you. And of course, it's not that I have, you know, have any negative opinion. It was just, but it's
right.
It's, when it's like going to a therapist. You're paying them to tell you what you want to hear. So,
are a kind of therapy, right? There's definitely a psychological component.
Hello, do you want to?
Yeah, I can do that. Okay. So I used my favorite deck, which is the Crystal Visions Tarot by Jennifer Galasso. The spread that I used, I found on BiddyTarot.com, B-I-D-D-Y, Tarot. It is the New Year Tarot spread. It had 12 places, and so in the first position, I got the Ace of Pentacles reversed. And just to say, when I looked at this spread, after I dealt out the cards, a lot of it was reversed. And because I am such a novice at tarot reading, I completely freaked out. And the first set of cards, I actually thought, well, this can't be right. And I picked them all back up and I spread them out all over the table and, you know, inversed some of them and reversed some other ones. And then I redealt them and I still got mostly reversed cards. The Ace of Pentacles being one that came up in both times, although they came up in different positions. I thought it was important that it came up the second time around when I finally said, okay, fine, there's going to be a lot of change. And I have that in the previous year in summary position. So I spent the last year getting my finances. I moved. I changed jobs. The job that I'm doing now is in a different place, but it's the same job, and it was for like $2.50 more an hour. But I knew that the place that I was getting hired on to do this job, I was going to have to bring my A game to make sure that I succeeded. And I was in a probationary period for a year, which just ended at the end of September.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And, you know, my review was stellar. My supervisor and I love each other now. Well, not love, but, you know, we have a good working relationship, which I was concerned about when I first took the position.
Right.
And so that is kind of how I spent my last year. And so I thought that was an appropriate card in that position. And then in position two, lessons learned from the past year, Knight of Pentacles. My interpretation of that card is to be hardworking and cautious, taking responsibility and paying my bills on time and having money left over to have fun, but, you know, being responsible. That because of the work that I did getting my finances in order and my working life in order too, I am valued at work, I mean. And I guess in a way, you know, I value myself because I put the work in. Mm-hmm. And my finances and my work life have always been a trouble spot for me. Work has never been my main priority in life, although I've always worked. I feel like now I'm doing something that not only am I getting paid a decent amount of money for, but I'm enjoying it and I'm giving back, and all of those things together have put me into a much better place, career and work and financial wise. So that's what I learned over the past year. The third spot was the aspirations for the next 12 months. And I got the Page of Wands reversed. So for that one, I did look it up, but it's getting my spiritual house in order, which makes a lot of sense to me because, like I've mentioned to Raven a number of times in the past, maybe, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months, I had been searching for something spiritual in my life because I felt like I was lacking that again, that I needed. It was pulling me, and I could hear that haunting echo, but I couldn't find it. I didn't know what it was. And then Raven came to me about the podcast, and all of a sudden, all of these spiritual things started to culminate again, and I got excited, and I have a creative vision again, I guess, for my spiritual life. Also, need to make sure that I follow through because I have a tendency to stagnate and not...
I think it's really easy with spiritual stuff because, like, the rewards are intrinsic and sometimes you have to work really hard for them and there are other things in life that get in the way. That's a really easy thing to let fall down and, you know, let go of and not work on, even though I know I always feel better when I'm working on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm thinking that in order to take it to the next level and to really move forward with my spiritual path, I need to make it a priority.
Mm-hmm. It's very much in the realm of self-care in some ways.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's very strong for all three of us, honestly.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And then in the next position, that was position 5, temperance reversed in what empowers you in your aspirations. That one, along with, that was position 4. Position 5 was the magician reversed, what stands in your way. I took these two together. So basically, you know, what's empowering me and what is that blockage? What is that right. I need to get over or through in order to right. move forward?
Because yeah. they're kind of two sides of one coin, really.
And so I have been spending most of my mental and physical time and energy on love and family, which is wonderful. But because I spend so much time in that place, I'm not making my spiritual life a priority, and I need to.
Right.
I need to find more of a balance and make time for my spiritual endeavors. I'm concerned with the magician reversed that this is part of my love and family life that, and maybe not necessarily a specific person, but the way that I'm seeing or feeling about my family life.
Yeah.
Because I kind of feel like I have some resentments and stuff that I need to work through. And part of that is not having enough time for myself.
Yeah.
Specifically my spiritual life. So yeah, those two together, I need to find that balance so that I have more time for myself without sacrificing what I do love about my family.
Mm-hmm. Gotta fill the cup to pour it out.
Yeah. And the relates very much to temperance.
Well, then that even leads into the next one, which is position 6, which is relationships and emotions for the next year. I got the Knight of Cups reversed. And kind of going along with the last two, I think, with temperance and the magician both reversed as well.
Yeah, it's very on theme, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Again, back to needing to reprioritize and focus less on, you know, worrying about my love life and finding my home in a person other than myself. Because I think that my spiritual practice and my spiritual feeling is that personal growth is super important to me. And I'm focusing on outward things and outward, you know, other people as opposed to finding home or balance or safe space within myself.
Yeah, and I'm finding that focusing on other people is like sometimes, even though I think it's like the mark of a very giving person, a nurturing person, but it can also be a really easy way to avoid working on yourself and facing up to some of those harder truths.
Oh, right. God, I have just lifted my hand to the ceilings. Preach, sister.
It's really easy to bury yourself in not only another person, but all of the people that you care about. And, you know, it defers that work we have to do on ourselves, for sure.
There's yes.
balance. Yeah.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Position 7, I got the moon reversed. And this was in career, work, and finances. That one actually confused me a little bit. Other than the only thing I can really say with that one is because it was in the finances, career, work position, I know I have some things to work on yet with my finances and how I guess how giving I've been. I don't really know what I think of this card, to be honest.
You know, sometimes somebody else's perspective helps, so I'm going to jump in and be annoying.
Yes, thank you.
I feel like the moon upright is very much about, like, you know, confusion, hidden things. Sometimes there's some fear in there. There's a lot of, like, mysteries. I think the moon reversed is about clarity and releasing some of those negative feelings.
Oh,
maybe, like, unveiling. So maybe that's talking about maybe you're ready to make a new 5-year plan, or maybe you're ready to look at what's the next step in my career, you know, or long-term saving goals, that kind of thing. So I sort of see it as like gaining some clarity. I'd like to see what Ray has to say though.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
I think that is a pretty good interpretation. I think too, one of the things that we can take from the moon in reverse is that if our intuition is niggling us about some situation or other, and we at least at this point have not followed through on our intuition, that we might want to take a moment and give it a touch more stock because of the lunar influence of the moon. Well, duh. And how it speaks about mystery and about feeling. Sometimes it gets real easy with our finances or with situations like that to become so imminently practical that we miss the forest for the trees. So it might be also a thought about creative ways that you can invest your money.
Oh.
I think, and or invest yourself. Your own personal currency.
Okay.
So that you can increase the flow of whatever it is that you're intending to flow. So if it's prosperity in particular, then if you can start listening to your intuition about it, like if you are thinking about changing your 401k, I think that's one of the things that River said that makes sense to me. Or you see some sort of, I don't know, charity thing you want to get involved with, or anything of that sort of nature where you're giving of yourself in that way, or you have a prodding, an internal prodding to do that, it doesn't hurt to really sit down with that and interrogate it a little bit, because if your intuition is talking to you, even if it's about your finances, it doesn't hurt to listen. So sure. That's one of them. I mean, that's sort of how I take it, is a way to look at it. So
I like that too. Thank you, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will have to think about that in the context of what you guys said too, because I am much more financially stable than I have been for most of my life. I think there's something there that I can work with. I can give back, and I can find a balance there.
Yeah, I think it's a whole new set of concerns when you're not living paycheck to paycheck anymore, because then there are bigger questions besides, you know, which bill am I going to put off this month?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see here. Position 8 was health and well-being, and I got the 8 of pentacles. So I'm getting a lot of pentacles.
I did too. Interesting.
Yeah. So under health and well-being, I really felt that this was working hard to set my personal boundaries and taking care of my mental and physical needs, physical health needs, because I have a tendency not to do that. And with the 8 of Pentacles, I felt like if I do set those boundaries, I have to work hard in order to actually keep them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the repetition in the traditional Rider-Waite 8 of Pentacles, definitely there's something there where it's the continued boundary drawing or the continued, you know, meal planning or exercising or whatever it is that's best for you.
Yeah, it's definitely about commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have a tendency to get started with, you know, like a physical fitness routine and or eating healthier. And I'm kind of all or nothing. It all goes great or it all goes to shit. And mental health plays a big role in how I'm able to deal with my physical health too. Because if I don't feel good mentally, I'm not taking care of myself physically.
And isn't it interesting the flow of that? As when we don't take care of ourselves, physical health deteriorates. So it's right. Like a big, you know, it's like a big infinity symbol, right?
Absolutely. It's like a Mobius strip.
Okay, so position 9, I got another pentacle. I got the 5 of pentacles under spiritual energy and fulfillment. And what I pulled from that is working on the podcast together. I definitely feel companionship with the two of you, and that baseline for working spiritually is going to improve my health and my direction of where I'm going in my life. If that makes any sense, I don't.
It does. Community is important. Support is a thing. You know, we need to be here for each other and support each other in all these changes and this time of transition. And we all three are going through that right now.
Sir, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think we were very much brought together at the right time for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to kind of gloss over that one a little. I got to do a little more thinking on that one. And then I'll probably add some more thoughts to that when I put it up on the blog.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think my blog stuff will be a little more detailed too.
Same.
Position 10, what to focus on in the year to come. Well, this made complete sense to me after the rest of the cards. 7 of cups. My spiritual growth is tied to my mental and emotional health, and I need to refocus my priorities and allow time for my spiritual practices. So that, I guess I had a little tag line that came up in my mind as I was kind of reading through this card, grounding myself in spirit.
That's really a good one.
That's really fitting for 7 of cups. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I think that will allow me to branch out then and be more productive spiritually, mentally, physically, career, the whole thing. I think for me, it's all coming back to spirit.
Yeah, it's a sense of holism. Like your whole reading feels like a reminder to consider yourself as a whole being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, position 11. I feel like the last two even hit it home even more. Ace of Wands reversed, most important lesson of the coming year, that I need to find my spiritual center and I need to fan the flames, so to speak. Don't let it die out, but I got to keep with it, for lack of a better term, because it's going to be important to everything else. It's the baseline. It is... If I don't keep myself moving forward and dedicating time and effort to continuously in order to find my spiritual center and move forward. And then the last one is in where are you headed over the next year? And I got the Hierophant reversed. Again, I felt like spiritual grounding, freedom through finding my own way and doing it my own way. Feeling confident in what makes me a spiritual person, if that makes any sense.
It also makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And I think in the context of, you know, following, being, you know, heeding the call and coming to the Morgan and being under her wing, it's a lot about asserting your personal sovereignty over yourself as a spiritual being.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
And making that commitment to her and to yourself.
Yeah. So then I just wrote a little quick blurb at the end that overall it feels like it's going to be a year of spiritual growth, finding balance in my life to give time to spiritual growth by refocusing my priorities and giving of time and effort to the desire to be, as you said, to heed that call and to be more active in my spirituality. And that's all I have.
It sounds like you're on track, yeah?
I think so. I was really worried. You know, I thought it was going to be a really negative reading, and it's actually a really positive reading.
And I think it's like instructive, which is always really helpful in a reading. Sometimes yes, it's reading, just like, yeah, I know. And what now? And this one gives you like a lot of things to do and to look forward to. And I think that's hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. It's interesting. We all had, I think, really good, but also challenging readings.
Yes.
I will. We'll get into mine, which is not exactly a shit show, but it's, I sort of feel like kind of is. Okay. Actually, it's not a bad reading, but it's just a lot. So because I tend to be extra, I decided that I didn't like any of yearly readings that I have ever done. I have never felt terribly comfortable with doing a 12 houses spread. One, because I've never put the nerd credits into frickin' astrology so hard that I can actually use it for anything other than what I read in a book, which just sort of makes me feel as disconnected as possible from the reading when I have to be constantly like digging in some tome to like put it into context. And then I went and did some looking around at other like Wheel of the Year readings, and I didn't really see anything that I resonated with specifically. So I decided just this morning to write my own layout.
Oh my God.
Because extra.
Yeah.
Because extra. Well, you know. So, and I will post that reading, like the layout format and the position meanings and all that on the blog. So any of you who are listening, who are interested in like seeing what I did and you guys want to like take a look at it, you're more than welcome to do so. But it is basically centered around the Feast and Fire festivals, and then the center, which is sort of the foundational cards, is the four treasures of the Tuath. So we have the Live Fall, we have Nuada Sword, Loose Spear, and Dogda's Cauldron in the center. And we go from Samhain all the way around to Samhain again, because that's when the Celtic year basically starts.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere I had read many moons ago in my early explorations in Celtic animism and Celtic paganism that there is really kind of a season between Samhain and winter solstice that's kind of considered the void. And while we are on the precipice, of course, with the veil being thinner, so we have better access in some respects to things like prophecy and our ancestors, we also are ending a period of kind of not necessarily specifically inertia, but mystery, right? And it is about the flipping of the year. It is that liminal period, even more so than any of the other fire festivals are, and because they're all liminal. So one of the things about this reading is that that card is not just the first card of this year, but it's the last card of next year. And in the way I look at it, it should be read both reversed and upright because of its liminality and that it is sort of at a balance point. If you look at like Greco-Roman symbolism too for the new year and just the fact that the Celtic New Year starts at a different time, but January, which is in the Roman calendar, is considered the beginning of the year in the classical world. It is symbolized by Janus, who is the two-faced god of portals. And so it is both beginning and ending. That makes sense. So that first position references that. And the card that I got in this spot was the Five of Swords, which, you know, kind of immediately felt the symbolism about being confronted or beset by challenges and difficulties. Like my year up to this point has been a lot of that. Every time I am able to slip loose of one constraining situation, I find myself in another. I'm like, I feel a little bit like somebody at boot camp who's running through that grid of ropes and I have two left feet. So like, as soon as I get untangled from one situation, I am tangled in another. And it, so symbolically, just from the visual of it, it really spoke to me. And I should probably explain that I moved out of using a Rider-Waite tarot deck for personal readings, which has been my tarot deck since 1984, to a completely different deck with a completely different sort of set of cultural references, but that I absolutely fell in love with. And it is the Santa Muerte tarot, The Book of the Dead by Fabio Lestrani. And I picked it because it gives all of its meanings as basically advice from the dead. So from your ancestors or your notable dead or just the dead in general. And because of my relationship to the Morrigan and some of my own personal leanings in interest in psychopompery and a necromantic connection in that regard, I felt like this deck really spoke to me when I saw it, and the images are really, really amazing. They're exceptionally lush and bright and colorful and make use of skeletons. And so they're in that way, open, non-judgmental view of the querent and situations, at least mentally to me, that seems that way because they're not dressed up in flesh, but the essential earthiness of our existence. And the clothes are just costumes at that point. So I really, one of the things I really like about that. And in that card, visually, it is a man and a woman, and they are running down a street. It's a very active card, and they are immediately confronted by all of those swords. So like I responded to it really emotionally when I got that card. And it also interesting that because I read my cards generally in terms of likes and or numbers, which means so if there's X amount of suits, then I read those suits together, especially if they're connected to one another. And the same with if I have a lot of major arcana, I try to look at their relationships to each other and the relationships to the cards around them and or suits. So this was the only sword in my reading, which is very interesting to me because generally that tends to like, that's like my shamanic lodestone that I carry around with me is conflict. And it's always there. So I always get several, at least two in a reading and often four. And there was only one in a 12 card reading, which was kind of intense to me. But I sort of looked at it for me that it's about learning to sort of move with the tide of these conflicts that I am facing, these difficulties, and take of instead of trying to avoid them necessarily and not take a defensive, not fight and not be defensive, but be more like a samurai and observe what they are and move in relationship to them. So like a salmon jumping upstream in a lot of ways, like finding the undercurrent that I can flow against or with and use that propellant to get through the challenge that I'm facing. And it really put it in a personal thing for me because I am, of course, currently unemployed. And I have also just started this like new regime of medication for my fibro. And it's really causing me some difficulties physically, just very uncomfortable a lot of the time. And know that right now, if I tried to find a job, I'd have be hard pressed to be able to sit for 8 hours and really concentrate on something when I am running back and forth between wherever I am in the bathroom at some fairly regular intervals because of this medication. So it's also about, for me, surrendering to that being a circumstance. And if I want to take care of myself, that there are certain things I have to accept about my situation so that I can quit fighting them and work with what I've got. So this card just felt really intense about and perfectly set for like where I am right this minute and kind of what I expect will be the theme of the following year or this year that comes ahead. So that was card number one. Card number two is Winter Solstice or Yule. And that card, of course, in this reading is sort of set up in the position of renewal and dawn and beginnings. If we look at much symbolism of it as the dying of the old year and the rebirth of the new one, the battle between the Holly King and the Oak King, if you're into Druidic symbolism. And so it is sort of that first spark of germination, right? We're still in midwinter, but the light is coming and things are going to start growing. So it really should be read, that card read as it lays. So either reversed or upright. And it should speak about how we set upon our journey, like that first step, that first initial spark of moving forward into the year. And strangely enough, and almost on cue, I got the Fool. Right? So he just like, and I wrote in my thing is that the Fool, of course, arrives exactly when he's supposed to. Neither, uh-huh. Like Gandalf, he's neither early nor late. He arrives immediately
precisely
on time.
When he needs to.
Yes. Yeah, right? And I don't get this card horribly often. And usually when I do, I cringe a little because I have a tendency, as a lot of Aquarians do, to be very idealistic. And so for me, oftentimes it tends to put me on guard that I am not looking at the big picture and focusing on the myopic good things instead of like looking at everything, and that I may at any point step off the edge and fall into oblivion because that's, you know, my deal. But the Santa Muerte deck is really an interesting, actually, image, and it actually has the guy coming up out of a hole. Instead of on the edge of falling off, he is coming out of a dark place. Mm-hmm. And he has some tools on him. And it's interesting what they are. There is an anchor and a guitar and a machine gun in a suitcase with the Immaculate Heart of the Immaculate Conception on it, which is really fantastic. And then on his finger, his right index finger, is a butterfly, which we all know, or maybe we don't, is a symbol of transformation. So it's an interesting card to draw in this position for lots of reasons. The obvious one, of course, is that the Fool represents, you know, beginning a journey and the wide-eyed optimism and naivete in which we tend to embark on these things. When we get a creative bug up our ass and we start doing stuff, we have all these great plans. And that's, of course, how the Fool starts every journey. In reading it in the position that it was for me, and by the Santa Muerte's meanings, which are neither usually reversed or upright and really come as counsel from the dead. So like if your old dead granny sat you down and she was going to tell you something about what you're doing, this would kind of be how it comes. And it's sort of how I envision them. It really is a thing that a call for me to keep the right attitude about the troubles that I'm having and the path that I'm on, and that I need to also be prepared to let go of anything that I don't need in order to take this journey, that whatever I pack my suitcase with is what I'm taking with me. And that anchor can be a weight and keep me stuck, or it can be, you know, a place looking for the place to find safe harbor. But it all has to do with how I see it and how I use it. The same with the machine gun and the guitar, right? So that creative energy and or my desire to, you know, tilt at windmills and be Don Quixote. So there's that machine gun. It's like, how am I going to use my strength of power and force in my situation? And so I really thought it was an interesting image for that, which is so non-traditional to what a Rider-Waite card looks like, and also spoke way more to my situation than the Rider-Waite would have. So that's my card too. The third card falls on Imbolc or Bridget's Day. And that card, of course, is about real germination. It's about the seed planted, watered, and nurtured. And it is about it being both fresh and vulnerable. And a sign of the relief, or a sigh of relief, I guess, in the face of the long winter, where the snows still come here anyway in February. But every day it gets a little warmer and the sun is out a little bit longer. And I know here, being on the right on the Mississippi River, that about the second week of February, when we get the good start of the good melts for snow, you can smell the river. Like you can smell life. It's a very strange and kind of intoxicating moment in that, you know, winter craziness where you're locked in, where you have a day that is sunny and bright and you can literally smell life as it's just sort of seething under the surface of all that snow. And I love that. One of my favorite days. Anyway, it also should be read as it falls. It's about, you know, considering what we sow and the seeds that we plant and what we plan to harvest in Lunas, fall equinox, right? So, and fall equinox. So it is thinking ahead about what we need to sustain ourselves through this, the last bit of this cycle of darkness, and how to prepare ourselves for the year ahead. So because Bridget is also associated with it, I think about very much in terms of like household and finalizing my plans for creative endeavors, because she's also the goddess of smithcraft. And in this position, I got the Emperor, which is traditionally pretty much about mastery and power and authority and its expression. Mm-hmm. And I honestly at first didn't really respond to this card very well, because I didn't really know what to do with it, like in terms of my situation. I felt a little, well, hi there, and why are you here? But I realized that it, because of the other cards that it surrounded with, that it might actually have something to do with a job and what I want to look at. One of the things my doctor and I did discuss is that I probably can't go back to working in a factory on the floor in production, that my body just, and my health situation just is not going to be amenable to that. And so in order to use the skills that I've developed working in manufacturing, it might be my best interest to start looking for a supervisory position. And so it came to me that maybe that's what that is about, is being confident enough to put myself out and really sticking my skills on the line and being willing to exert that, both, you know, in an interview and in self-promotion, but also to accept the mantle of responsibility, like be willing to do that in order to get where I need to go. And the Santa Muerte cards or deck says that it really is about not being afraid to aim high and to not shy away from taking advice either from people in those positions. So it definitely felt like a support for a decision about that, about maybe this sometime this spring, I'm, you know, renewing my real strong look for a job and really focus and hone my attention in on positions that I can really use what I've learned up to this point and the skills I've developed and just go for it.
Yeah. And then, really, well, what's the worst that can happen? And, you know, the Emperor is not worried about the worst that can happen. He's just like manifesting it by being like, I'm fucking great.
Right.
I deserve this because, you know, of who I am and what I'm confident in my worth. So there's very much, I think you're on the right track there.
Right. And the thing that's interesting to me too is that there's some paternal symbolism to this, in that one of the reasons that I have been nervous to pursue finding a real supervisory position working in the sort of industries that I've worked is my father worked as a supervisor for about 20 years. And every time I bring up applying for a supervisory job, he tells me that I, no way should I do that. I just shouldn't do it. I'll hate it. And it'll be more stress than I can deal with. And it's just a horrible position. Don't take it. And I came to the conclusion and I realized that when I was in high school, I really wanted to get involved in music from the technical aspect. I really actually wanted to learn musical engineering, recording engineering. And because I love music and I'm really into it, or even being a DJ, I wanted to be in that field but I wanted to do something technical because I didn't necessarily believe I had the skills or the gift to be musical, but I have a good ear and I felt like I understood music and I understand taste. And my father was like, why? So you can hang around with hippies and drug addicts? And then, yeah, right. So then that was like a no-go. And then later in high school, when it became really clear that I had a gift for research and was really interested in politics and in social justice issues, that, and I went into debate and did speech and I got really good scores and I really felt strongly about it. And somebody suggested me at a career day that I should think about the law. Now, I had a love-hate law relationship with the law, and particularly with constitutional law. And as part of it, I suppose, is my political activism, is how I view it. And even my patriotism to some extent is connected to this. But as soon as I went home and I said to my dad, you know, I think maybe law school is a really good idea for me. My father said, if you become a lawyer, I'll never speak to you. So the answer here is, did I see the emperor and I see my dad? Whenever that car falls in my readings, I have a tendency to paternalize it and see it as a vision of my father. Mm-hmm. And this is giving me an opportunity to transmute that.
I love that.
Yeah. So I feel really like on point that I need to like shut his mouth down in my head and just do it. Card 4 is Ostara and spring equinox. And of course, no, I didn't. Okay. Sorry. Card 4 is Ostara and spring equinox. And that, of course, is right. So it's what's coming up, pushing up through the ground. It is what we planted, what we're trying to manifest. And of course, I also believe that one should be read as it lays. And it fell for me in the upright position. And in the Santa Muerte, it shows a parade, a processional, like an Easter parade. And the people all wearing, you know, red and carrying these big red wands with a red leaf on it, which is weird, but it makes some sense because of the fire element and blood and the relationship to fire and blood in the wands in particular as a suit. And traditionally, of course, that would also be like being okay with celebrating, you know, successes that you've attained. And so that makes sense to me. That if I take that position or I assert myself, that I may actually be looking forward to some level of self-congratulation that I have stepped out of that space and taken on some more responsibility, and maybe the job will be good for me and I will feel empowered in it, and that's a good thing. The Santa Muerte says that it reinforces this. It also suggests that I not downplay my abilities and that I should also be aware of my shortcomings lest I fall, because it's, you know, at that pinnacle where we, you know, have to really do some serious thoughts about our gratitude and our humility so that we don't sidestep off our point and slide downhill. So that was that. Card 5 is Beltane. And that, of course, is the full bloom of the year. And it's also the halfway point and the Celtic year in the wheel. And the shoots have come up and the fruit is starting to set. And it is a time for us to dig into our fertility and give thanks for it. But it is also the opposite side of the coin from Samhain. And so this card too should also be read, I think, both upright and reversed. In doing so, the card that I got was the Lovers. And generally, of course, this is like, I don't know why I got this card either, because I never get it. And so I was like, what the heck? But I also know after years of reading cards that it's not about literal love as in romantic love in general. There's been far better cards in the tarot deck to represent that. But it is more about unity and about a common purpose and balancing of opposites. And so there's that side. And then there's the reverse side, which is about conflict, division, and isolation. And the Santa Muerte suggests that it is a time to make good choices and follow your bliss, but it also suggests that it won't be an easy choice. In other words, the decisions will have to come at some sacrifice. And it means that it will include hard work and maybe other difficulties, but at the end of it, you gain something that you love. I sort of see it as the fulfillment of the spring and the opportunities taken and the seeds that I've planted. And I will have another choice to make at that point about how to proceed, and that it's going to have to include understanding my desire to always stay in a comfortable place, and that I might actually have to challenge myself. So that's how I interpreted the Lovers. We get to Alitha and summer solstice, and that's of course the card of the ripening and when the berries are out and we get to taste the first fruits. And the card that I got there is the 7 of Cups reversed. And it is the first reversed card in my outer circle. And it is, of course, a card that is generally seen as negative and about temptations to grandiosity and dreams of impracticality. But in the reverse position, it is way more like you described it with the moon, is way more about getting past that, like having those illusions pulled aside, or purposely pulling aside those illusions in order to focus and to find strength in your position, and to taking off your blinders and dealing with your idealism and being maybe more pragmatic, so that you can make corrections to your path where you've strayed. And the Santa Muertes is also very much in support of that. Its counsel was to persevere and keep your eyes open, and try to stay grounded. So I'm going to imagine it sort of as a opportunity around Beltane to take stock, like that 6-month taking of stock of where I am, and then making adjustments to the things I had planned and where I see myself, and then go from there, sort of. The card seven was for Lunasa, and that card is with the position of beginning to harvest where I live, and thinking about how that is like strawberries, or not strawberries, but blackberries come into season here, and they are supposedly sacred to Brigid. So it's interesting that it's on the polar end of Imbolc. And so this one is another card, or another position sort of taking stock, and it gets supported again by the Nine of Cups, which traditionally is a time to see the benefits of your hard work. And I suppose in light of the flow of the cards this far, I kind of see it as that swing into early autumn and a feeling of well-being and abundance, which if I make the right decisions and make the right choices and navigate and make the adjustments I needed to from Beltane forward, I should be in a fairly good position come then. Card 8 is Fall Equinox, Mavon, and that's, of course, a full harvest. In this one, I got Santa Muerte herself, but reversed, which is the Empress. And it gives me a little scares, because traditionally that would suggest being over-involved in other people's lives, or having someone over-involved in mine, and who is maybe meddlesome, or I'm being meddlesome, or over-controlling. And it concerns me, because I can be like that if I start to feel like things are sliding sideways on me. So in the position of that first frost and the beginning of real autumn, I'm going to try to keep in mind, because the Santa Muerte suggests that I have to accept that all change is imminent, and to not fear leaving things or cutting things out of my life, sort of pruning out stuff. So it's a mouthful to me. And it does sort of bring my year utterly around into full circle, where we come back to that sword card in the beginning. So it just really felt cyclical. I got the whole cycle of the cards. It's clear to me that it's not over, that the journey is just going to keep going. So I just have to stay on my toes and continue to be willing to support myself and be okay with humility, but also honesty enough to be able to say that I do have value. And I could get into the middle cards, but I'm not going to, because I didn't really get a chance to dig into that before we started. And so that'll be part of my write-up that'll go on the blog.
Seeing the more in-depth stuff too, but I thought that was a great reading.
Yeah, I really liked that. I was surprised that you made your own spread, but yeah, definitely. Awesome.
I just didn't like anything else I saw, because I'm extra.
Things that are like I like them in theory, but they just don't feel right.
Yeah.
And I think it resonate. It was like, yeah, it doesn't mean that the other spreads are not worthy or whatever. It's just
right. You just weren't feeling.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling it. This just seemed like, I don't know, just the inspiration came and I went with it.
I wasn't feeling like I was even going to do a full 12, and I did. So I pushed myself beyond my comfort zone there. Because I was like, well, how many should I do? Maybe I'll just do like 3 or 5.
Well, and it's funny because all of our spreads, really, a lot of it was about pushing ourselves beyond our comfort zone. So I think that's very symbolic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it is the challenge of the warrior.
Yes.
Is a continual improvement and a striving to improve oneself and improve one's position, right? And that doesn't have to be like a higher sort of thing, but just, you know, to see the battlefield for what it is and take advantage of its ebbs and flows. And I guess that's sort of how I saw my reading and kind of how I see both of yours.
There's very much an element of like, you have to keep your blade sharpened. You have to keep your armor in working order. You have to make sure that the fortifications are strong and, you know, none of that wood is rotting away. So there's definitely an element to that.
Yes. And for our listeners, not every single one of our episodes is going to be so terrible, but because it is Samhain and it was the new moon, it sort of made sense to us as a topic to talk about that and divination. And as a segue, I think from our readings,
we welcome your thoughts, comments, and suggestions through any of the following media. You can follow us at Twitter at AttemptingMurd1. At WordPress at attemptingmurderpodcast.wordpress.com, on Pagan Space at paganspace.net/attemptingmurderpodcast, or via email at attemptingmurderpodcast@gmail.com. Attempting Murder has been written, produced, and presented by R. Van Alstyne, Kay Lawson, and Jay Hagar, and is subject to copyright. The opinions expressed on Attempting Murder are as presented by their contributors and are not attributed to anyone else. The theme for Attempting Murder is Easily by Johnny Grimes and is available at SoundCloud/Johnny Grimes. Creative Commons attribution for it is 3.0. The music is promoted by Audio Library on YouTube. Attempting Murder is available through the following outlets: Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Podchaser. Please, if you find us at any of these or any other outlets, if you have enjoyed the programming, hit the like button and subscribe.